All right. As I said, the clock is moving. Part two. Time is moving and moving very quickly, it seems. But in reality, there's, what, 24 hours in a day. There's, what, 60 minutes in each hour. And there's 60 seconds in each minute. Life, though, is like the NFL draft. You're on the clock, and it's moving. You have a limited amount of time to make choices in. And one thing's for sure, nothing can stop time from moving. And I got corrected when I said that the last time. But God. But God. You turn to Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10. And this is where Joshua speaks out to the Lord and asks him to stop time from moving so that they could win the battle and the war that they were in with the Amorites. Because they were attacking one that had made a peace treaty with Israel. So when they got in trouble, they screamed out to Joshua and said, "Hey, help us. We got five kingdoms coming out against us." Then Joshua went down. And in that battle, to make sure that they had the victory and to defeat their enemies, he asked God to hold time up. Because if you're fighting in the daylight, you can see them. At night, they can hide and they can run. Well, in verse 13 there of Joshua 10, in the easy-to-read version, it says, "So the sun did not move, and the moon stopped until the people defeated their enemies. This story is written in a book of Jasar. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky. It did not move for a full day." Only happened one time. Never happened a second time. And it's the only time that God heeded the words of a man that quickly. Because he was fighting for Israel. If God be for you, who can be against you? Well, we need to be good stewards over our time, and we're not to waste it. That's why I say, parents, spend time with your children. Grandparents, spend time with your grandkids. And for those of you who have our great-grandparents and have great-grandchildren, do the same. Do the same. You'll make an impact in their lives. Because they look forward to that time with you. For some reason, it's more enjoyable with the grandkids, though. Am I right, guys? Yeah. You can spoil them. You know, I hear that all the time. "You didn't treat us like that, Dad." Well, no. Can I say, it's not that I love them anymore, but it's different. It's different. And you know, before you know it, though, the kids, they're no longer that little infant held in your arms. They're in kindergarten. Then you blink, and they're graduating school and going off to college. And next thing you know, they're out there in the job force. They're moving away. They're getting married, and they're having kids. It's all part of God's plan to keep the earth supplied. So your time needs to be wisely spent, and spend it with your children. God expects us to use it, and to use it very wisely. One thing's for sure, we should not be wasting it on worrying. Worrying immobilizes you. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to read verse 7. And this is the Living Bible translation. Let him, God, have all your worries and cares, for he is always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you. If he's always thinking about you, that means you're always on his mind. That's 24/7, folks. And if he's watching over you, that means he's got his eyes on you. Can't hide. Psalm 33, verse 18, Living Bible. But the eyes of the Lord are watching over those who fear him, who rely upon his steady love. Love. What's love got to do with it? Everything. When it comes to God, everything. Everything that concerns you, what it says in that scripture, in 1 Peter 5, 7. That's whatever is a matter of interest or importance to you in your life. Whether it be your family, your friends, your job, your financial stability, your health. If it concerns you, it concerns him. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 27. Verse 27. Message Bible. Has anyone by fussing in front of the mirror ever grown taller by so much as an inch? I don't think so. All this time and money wasted on fashion? Do you think it makes that much difference? Nick? Fashion King? Nick even wears shoes that match, even if they're that high. You have to ask Nick about that one. Instead of looking at the fashions, walk out into the fields and look at the wildflowers. They never primp or shop. I like that. But have you ever seen color or design quite like it? You know, Teresa and I were driving down 376 and she was saying, look at those beautiful purple flowers. And we go, look at them white ones and yellow ones. Wildflowers. Beautiful. She said, why can't we have them in the yard? Well, you know how we look at them? We say they're weeds, right? But yet, he puts them all over the sides of the road for us to enjoy. And they're beautiful. They don't have to do a thing. The 10 best dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside of them. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, and do his best for you? Now, Jesus is speaking, remember. What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax. Do not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things. But you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. And may I add, far exceeded, every time you take time to do what God wants you to do. Even on your job, yes, there's some things you may not want to do or to go, but there's a reason God wants you there. to be in that place for that certain individual. As you go and you do it sometimes, and all of a sudden you realize, wow, this person needed to talk to me. They needed to hear from God. You were able to share with them because you were obedient and went. But if you just stayed in your room and sat down, I'm going to eat my lunch all by myself, you couldn't have made an impact. Use your time wisely. So we get so preoccupied trying to get things we need, we forget He already knows what we need. He's the need provider. He is Jehovah Jireh. God was called Jehovah Jireh by Abraham on Mount Moriah when He provided a sacrifice for Abraham in place of his son Isaac. And that's found in Genesis chapter 22. And that's where God spoke to Abraham and said, I want you to get your son, and I want you to go where I tell you to go, and I want you to sacrifice him as a burnt offering to me. Abraham didn't blink. He went off, didn't he? Him, his son, and he chopped all the wood to take with him, and a couple of his servants. And they went until God says, okay, there's the mountain I want you to go to. That's the mountain I want you to be on. And Abraham stopped, got Isaac, said, here, you carry all the wood, put all the load on him. Put the load on Isaac. And he said, okay. He got his little pot of fire so he could start the fire. And he looked at his men and he said, you stay here. We will return. We will return, he said, after we do our worshiping unto the Lord. They go, climb the mountain. Isaac says, Father, we have the wood. We have the fire. Where's the sacrifice? God will provide for himself what we need. He goes up there, builds the fire, gets it ready. He takes and he binds his son, ties his arms, lays him on top of all that wood, pulls out his knife, and he's ready to strike down on his own son. And an angel of the Lord said, stop. Stop what you're doing. And he did. And without a question, all of a sudden he heard behind him that ram that was caught in the bushes right there for him. He provided the sacrifice. But he tested Abraham. That's what the Bible said. Use the word tested him. Tested him. But he did provide for him. This is a dramatic illustration of faith and obedience. But more than that, it is a presentation of the Lord's eternal grace, continual provision, and His all-encompassing wisdom. Jehovah Jireh is not the Lord did provide, but the Lord will provide. See, in other words, the name does not simply memorialize a past event. It anticipates future actions. All the way to eternity and all throughout eternity for the believers. And as they said, you can take that to the bank. But in Genesis, in the 22, there on verse 14, where it says, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. It refers to more than Mount Moriah. It also refers to the hill called Calvary, where God did not spare His own Son. Turn to Romans chapter 8. We'll look to verse 32. Says, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. For us. us? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What things?
All things.
How does he give them?
Freely.
Amen. You have been taught well in this house. Thank you, sir. God knew what was needed to save mankind. So he provided the only sacrifice that could save us, his son. And if he went to that extreme, do you think that he's going to leave you out there struggling to get through life? I doubt it. Because he says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's there with you. And if he's there with you, who can be against you? Nobody. No one. He's already demonstrated how much he loves us. And so don't you think he's got it covered? Yeah, he's got your need covered. He knows what you need. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, the Living Bible, Jesus said, remember, your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. He knows what you need, and he will supply. But you have to ask. And how do you ask? In prayer. And when you go to him in prayer, you go to him believing, and you what? You will receive. When you pray, believe that you receive, and it's your need is met. He has it there the whole time for you. You just got to ask. And you got to believe that he'll supply it when you ask. Philippians 4:19 in the ERV, easy to read version, says, my God will use his glorious riches to give you everything you need. What's he going to give you?
Everything
you need. That's right. And he will do it through his son, Christ Jesus. Our time would then be better spent on what he needs for us to accomplish for him, and not on our personal needs, because he's got that covered. See, he's got that covered. When you really can get that deep down in, he's got it covered, you'll be able to say, well, what do you need me to do, Lord? What do you need from me? And when it comes to accomplishing what he has for you to do, believe me, he will supply you with everything you need to accomplish it. We just have to trust him. What's it say in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5? Amplified Classic Edition. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. And do not rely on your own insight or understanding. No, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to give it a concern. You don't have to understand it, because sometimes you want to understand it. You just don't understand God, though, because his thoughts are high above your thoughts. His ways are what? More than your ways. He knows more. He knows more. He's been around a little bit longer. In fact, he's the one who created you. But see, it got messed up back in the garden. We just followed his plan. Things would be a little different right now. Well, verse 6, though, in Proverbs chapter 3, it says, in all your ways know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. You will find the path he directs you to is always straight and plain. See, this saves time. He will be able to get you to the destination he wants you at a lot quicker. And may I add, if you be willing and obedient. Willing and obedient. That comes with great rewards, folks. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you be willing and obedient, sounds like you have a choice to make. Well, it sounds like that's a good choice for me, to be willing and obedient. I want to partake of the good of the land. How about you? It sounds so simple. Willing and obedient. Willing and obedient. Wow. And we make it so hard. You know, Jesus stayed the path the Father put him on, and he accomplished many things along the way. And he did it in a short period of time. We don't even have a complete documentation of everything that happens. In John chapter 21, verse 25 of the Message Bible, it says, there are so many other things that Jesus did. If they were all written down, each of them, one by one, I can't imagine a world big enough to hold such a library of books. But one thing we got to remember, as I said before, that you don't want to overlook, is the favor that he had of his Father over his life. See, God's favor can accelerate and expedite every situation it touches. I should have asked permission, but I'm not. Deb, remember when she got up, comes out, and a window in her vehicle is busted out. Wow. You talk about having to start the day on a high? Huh. Well, anyhow, she goes out, windows broke on the car. So she goes in, calls her insurance company. And they said, okay, here's a number for these people that repair the glass. And you want to just call them and give them this number. So she makes the phone call to the company. And they said, oh, okay, we'll take your information. When can we schedule this? Because it's going to be a while before we can get to you in the next couple of days. She went like, what? Right away, you know what her mind's thinking? Okay, I got to do the plastic and duct tape thing on the side of my vehicle. That's not going to be cool. And I hope she was going to use clear, not the dark plastic. I don't know, people who tape that, they put dark plastic. You can't see all these cars nowadays. Oh, anyhow, she says, okay, and hangs up the phone. It wasn't what, a couple minutes later, the phone rings. Here's the company calling her back. They said, Mrs. Osmond, we have a driver that's right in your area. And when we contacted him, you know he has the window that you exactly need on the truck? Can he come over and install it now? Of course, she said, come on over. That is the favor of God. She recognized it. She knew it. Wow. Amen. In Psalm 90, verse 17 of the NIV, it says, may the favor of the Lord of God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Amen?
Amen.
You know, our God is also a magnificent planner. God's plans are always very detailed. Sometimes you don't know them, but he does. And if you're willing and obedient and listening, you'll be able to follow through the plan as he has it laid out for you. But also, you got to realize this. He's the one who's going to see it through to completion. It's not all up to you. He just wants you to follow it. And then he'll guide you through it and help you every step of the way. Because in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 of the NIV, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He will see the completion of his plans for you. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 11, NIV. The Lord here speaking, what I have planned, that I will do. I like what the Living Bible says. It says, I have said I would do it. I will. I will. I will not, I will not, I will not ever leave you. Think about that. And His plans for you, we definitely know what they are because we've read it several times. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Because man doesn't give you hope. You go in on your job and sometimes you can really be drugged down. And you think there's no hope in this. There always is with God. Because that's His plan for you. And He's got a plan for a future. And it's all good. In our walk through time here on this earth with Him, we need to take the time to enjoy it, though. Each day is a gift from God. And it's a day for us to rejoice in. That's how we are to start our day. As I said in Psalm 118:24, which I say when I wake up, and let's say this together. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. You have the choice on how you start your day, and it will determine how you go through your day. So be happy. Time is precious. Don't be negative. Always accentuate the positive. Don't be like Eeyore. I brought this up. I went, you know who Eeyore is, right? He's that pathetic, negative donkey in the Winnie the Pooh stories. Pooh says, oh, it's sunshining out there and it's bright. Look how pretty it is out there. And Eeyore says, oh, I'm going to get sunburned today. He's not going to even enjoy the day. He's always thinking he's going to get sunburned. You say, look how bright and shiny it is to Tigger, and he's bouncing, he's happy, and he's everything. Am I right, Jessica? Tigger, he's a man. Well, there's Eeyore. He can't even find his own tail. Has a hard time keeping up with it. You got to love it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We need to start speaking God's word, and we need to speak it daily. Speak positive, faith-filled words. His words. His words have power in them. They've always had power in them. They still have power in them today. And you speak them in faith, there's power in them. In Isaiah 55:11, it says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. When you speak His word in faith with the power that's in that word, it goes forth, it's going to accomplish what you sent it out to do. Believe it. It's done. Well, you don't know. Don't look at everything else. Believe what the Word says. Well, you just don't know. No, but I know God does. And I'm trusting God. I'm putting all my trust. I'm leaning on, relying on Him. All my confidence is in Him. He can handle it. I'm nothing but a mere human. I'm a natural here on this earth. And for me to operate in the supernatural, I got to be hooked up with Him. And when you are supernatural. And don't believe and use your supernatural just here as we speak it here. It's a cloak that you wear. Don't take it off and leave it on the seat and walk out the door. and you're no longer supernatural. No, you're supernatural all the time because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are supernatural people. And you're doing supernatural things for him because you're in a supernatural church. Hallelujah. His word doesn't return void. It accomplishes what he sent it out to do. And when we speak it, it accomplishes what we send it out to do. In John chapter 17, verses 1 through 5, in the Message Bible, this is the same night in which he was betrayed. Now, he just got done having dinner with his men. And then he has some long words and discussions with them and telling them, while Judas is off selling Jesus for some silver. It says, Jesus said these things, verse 1. Then, raising his eyes in prayer, he said, Father, it's time. Let's get the show on the road here. Display the bright splendor of your Son, so the Son in turn may show your bright splendor. You put him in charge of everything human, so he might give real and eternal life to all in his charge. And this is the real and eternal life, that they may know you, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. I have glorified you on earth by completing down to the last detail what you assigned me to do. You want to bring glory to him? You do what he wants you to do down to that last detail. Because he has an assignment for each and every one of us. Yes, he does. You seek him out and he will show you what that is. But you got to seek him out. And now, Father, he says, glorify me with your very own splendor, the very splendor I had in your presence before there was a world. Jesus was before. He was with the Father. The amazing thing is, the way God worked in Jesus' life, he can work in ours too. Some are saying, he was the Son of God. Yeah. Yeah, he was. But so am I. See, we are all sons and daughters of God with equal standing in God's eyes. Really? 1 John 4:17. 1 John 4:17 of the Message Bible. God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God, and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us, so that we're free of worry on judgment day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ's. There is no room in love for fear. Verse 18. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. When you get that concept of how much he loves you, we talk about it, because he went to the cross, that love. But when you really get it down in you, that's what it says right here. Then you will be fully formed. And you're not going to have the fear of judgment. You're not going to have the fear of death at all. There are some born-again Christians who are still afraid of death. He's going to have you around for a long time. I don't know what you're fearing it for. Because if you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord. Right? It's a win-win situation for the believer. He doesn't lose, so we don't lose. He already won. So that means we win. So knowing our standing in the world, why wouldn't we want to wake up every morning and take full advantage of this day? This day, that's today. For this is the day that God has created, and He created it for each and every one of us. See, if we realize the potential that God has created for us every day, and don't you think that such a gift that He gives us that we would dedicate to His glory? And we need to try to accomplish everything we can in the day for His glory, not for ours. When we give Him and get it to give, He gets the glory for it, you'll shine also, because He will glorify you. But some would argue and say, that would be too hard to do. Well, if you're not letting God lead the way, that might be true. But if you let God direct and lead your life, you will accomplish amazing things every day for His glory. It's for His glory. Now, there's a motivational speaker. His name is Zig Ziglar. And he said, each day write down what you need to do and then prioritize it. And at the top of that list should be your relationship with God. Start each day by asking God what He needs you to do. Because it's not about you. It's about Him. So many times Christians make the mistake of not making time for God. I would read my Bible, but I don't have the time. I would come to church, but I have too much to do at home. I would help them, Lord, but then I won't get my stuff done. Lord, I'd volunteer my time to go over and cut grass at the church, but I got my own grass to cut. It's all in how you approach it, how you look at it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16 of the New American Standard Bible says this, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time. Time is moving, folks, and you're on the clock, because the days are evil. We are to make the most of our time every day for Him. We need to appreciate every day God gives to us and dedicate every day God gives us. Dedicate it to His glory. And when we do that, there's only one thing left to do. We must celebrate every day that God gives us as well. Amen? Now, so many times, though, we don't take the opportunity to stop and smell the roses. When we do that and we thank God for what He has done for us, we are thanking Him and taking the moment to smell the aroma of the sweet success that He gives us on the journey. The journey where? The journey to eternity. If you're a believer, that's where your journey is ultimately headed for, eternity with Him. And you can enjoy the journey with Him the whole way. It's all in how you look at it. All in how you look at it. Face it, the circumstances of life are going to happen, and they're going to happen often. But whether you enjoy the day has nothing to do with your circumstances. No matter what happens, no matter how bad your day may appear, you always have something to rejoice about. See, we can all be thankful for something. Thankful we're alive. Thankful we're alive. That we have provisions. Do you take time and say, Lord, I thank you for the provisions you supply to me and my household. Lord God, I thank you for everything you do for us. And I ask, Lord God, that you give us the wisdom here in this household to be good stewards over what you have blessed us with, Lord God, so that it can bring glory to you. And we just thank you, Father. You know, those are the things that when I pray, I pray for. Thank him for the provisions that he's given to you. We are to appreciate and celebrate our lives and the life that God has given to us. How could we ever question him about what's happening in our life when we are living the life that we have chosen to live? The word says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. Will it be God or man?" The choice is yours. So we all make choices in life about every aspect of life. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you so you can make good choices. So let's not be so preoccupied with getting that we miss what he's already given and is giving. Let us choose to spend more of our time on him, with him, and doing the things he wants us to do. Let us rejoice in the Lord always. And again, as Paul says, rejoice. Amen. Amen. Thank you.